Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. We're getting ready for an awesome sports weekend. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you get these things where guys, people just go on tangential rants. I'm going to share with you something, okay? So, by the way, I probably shouldn't, but my Twitter handle is at Gottlieb Show. Some of you know that. And you send me these direct messages. Jason Bishop, Doug, you guys need to stay in your lane. I love these stay in your lane. Regarding what? Mental health issues regarding Simmons. You're missing the point. You're not allowed to question anyone's mental health issues, especially an African-American whose societal pressures have made it impossible in the past for a black man to even admit he or she may have issues. What are you talking about? Oh, God. What we meant by having respect and sympathy is you're not supposed to be analyzed in public or even comment on somebody else's claim of mental issues. Yeah, okay, but listen. Listen, buddy, okay? Listen, to all you idiots out there, we're like, you can't speculate on things because you don't know what it's like to walk a mile in his shoes. Actually, no one knows more about the pressures of trying to perform and not being able to shoot the basketball than me. So why don't you just grab a Coke, open it up, and listen to somebody who knows a lot more than you do. Additionally, stop it with the Ben Simmons and the mental health care. You gotta, he said he's got mental health care, so we gotta back off. Nobody believes him. Nobody does. Because we actually pay attention. Lane? This is our lane. He's an all-star. He's the same guy who, I don't want to show up. Hey, man. You can show up or they can withhold your money. Hey, I'm there. But I don't want to be there. So I'm going to clear out my house and I'm going to put my apartment as well for sale. Just sell everything. Show up and have sweats on and have my cell phone on my bike. Unbelievably disrespectful. The levels of disrespect. His own teammate, Joel Embiid, was like, I'm done with him. Because he didn't want to play. Didn't want to be in a drill in practice. And then they go to mental health and mental health issues and whatever. Because that's the only way he can still get paid and not participate in team activities. I'm just not in the right mental health space. So Jason, no. 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 If you want PC radio, I can tell you where you can find it. It's not hard to find. It's where everybody simply blindly supports every player, every different claim. Everybody's out to get him. Nobody, you don't know what it's like to be Ben Simmons. Bro, he didn't grow up in the United States. He grew up in Australia. His dad was an American who was a professional basketball player. He came over here and went to a basketball school, Montverde Academy. Okay, then he did what Ben Simmons does. Rubbed everybody the wrong way at LSU. Right? It acted like he was doing them a favor to be there. And they didn't win and he wouldn't shoot and he didn't get much better. I still loved his talent. Go back and look. Nobody's ever, me especially, I always said this guy is an incredibly talented player. But he simply won't shoot the basketball, and it's getting worse, in which he apparently has some sort of block in shooting dunks and layups. It got bad. And if you want to say it got in his head, okay, I'm okay with that. But why didn't you go with that this whole offseason? Why didn't you go with that before the season? Because, come on, I was born at night, not last night. So, I mean, Jason wrote me, this thing is amazing. Do you pay his salary? Do you own stock? None of this actually matters. Okay? None of this actually matters. It's a sports story. He's an athlete. We don't believe him. That's it. And oh yeah, by the way, if it is a mental health issue, let's not act like this is some mental health issue where he's suicidal. He's not. He has a great life. He's a great player. He wants to find a new home. That's all this is about. But if it's about having the yips, again, people have trouble disseminating what is a mental health issue and what is kind of a sports mental issue. Because anytime you throw a mental health issue, oh, you have to back away. No, you don't. No, you really don't. As long as you're respectful and delicate with it, like, Dan Byer is probably the most respectful dude of athletes and the struggles of athletes that we have. Maybe he and Ilo, Isaac Lohenkron. And Dan's like, yeah, I don't buy it. You know why? Because nobody buys it. Because if it's really a mental health issue, it's not like the fifth excuse you use to get out of stuff. Right? It's a real thing for some people. I don't believe it's a real thing for Ben Simmons. And I think claiming it's a real thing only hurts how we look at mental health issues when they are in fact real.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Does Jason give his, I mean, what does he do for a living? Is Jason have...
This is a very, very long three-part, must have run out of room.
But does he give
his middle-aged, average white guy chef, mediocre golfer, somewhat worse gambler, occasionally piano player, happily married 20-plus years, frequent cat food provider in Toledo, Ohio.
So he doesn't have a doctorate in psychology or anything?
No.
So this is my rule. If you're going to tell somebody to stay in their lane, if you're going to be that person, I choose not to be, but if you're going to be, you need to be in the lane that you're telling the person to stay out of. Like a psychologist could say that. You could disagree with them, but you just can't be a chef and then tell a talk show host to stay in their lane. We all have opinions, and it's Doug Gottlieb's job to tell you his opinion.
Well, I would say this would be my pushback against. I don't necessarily think you have to know the lane to say tell somebody to stay. I just think staying out of your lane is like, yeah. I mean, here's how I look at any issue. It's like, you know, in a court of law or when you watch these courtroom dramas, right? And somebody opens the door to that line of questioning. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay. This is a great buyer thing. Did you used to, what was the show? It was a courtroom drama. It was, I think, in Boston, not Boston Legal, Denny Crane. Oh, man. This is early 2000s, really popular on like TBS.
Ally McBeal?
Reruns.
No, was it Ally McBeal?
No.
I didn't watch that show.
It wasn't Ally McBeal. It was like the,
It wasn't Boston Public, was it? That was about Boston, a school.
No, Boston Public was funny. What was the comedian Boston Public? He was funny. No, not Boston Public, not Boston. Boston Legal was the law. It was like an L.A. law, but in Boston. I'm trying to think what it was. God, I used to love this show. Anyway, I'm always wanted to be a lawyer. I love to argue, but it's too hard to work to actually be a lawyer and read all those cases and stuff.
Was it The Practice?
The Practice. That's what it was. Great. Good job.
Oh, very good. Very good.
That's a good show, isn't it? Byer, where is that on your all-time law?
Never watched it. Never watched it. Yeah, good I wasn't one. Into those. I was more into the sitcoms.
Your situational comedy guy?
Yeah.
All right, we'll put that in your next pod.
sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You're
by the way, was Ally McBeal even a law show? I don't even know, but I'm not even sure.
Yeah, was it? Was.
Okay, it was. Yep. Okay, good. So at least it was in the ballpark. It may have been in the upper deck.
It's the same creator, David E. Kelly.
Okay.
That guy's rolling it, right? David E. Kelly. Calista Flockhart was Ally McBeal, right?
Yep.
That's correct. Yep.
And she dated Harrison Ford. That was a weird
one. She's still with Harrison.
Yeah,
is she really?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. They're a thing. I don't know if they're married, but are they married? Anybody know?
I don't believe they are married, no.
They are what's called common law. Is that right?
Yeah, you could say that. Sure.
He's still solo, is what you're saying?
No, they've like adopted a kid.
Oh, man.
They're like together, but like not. No, they were married. No, they're
really?
Married. Yeah. Married.
Wow.
Wow.
11 years married.
Mm.
10.
Good for them.
So he's sans solo right now. No more solo.
Sans solo.
Hans couple.
You think
Hans married?
You think Calista ever gets away with saying "I love you" without him saying "I know"?
I know. Jeez. I don't know. That'd be a good one, honey. Yeah, I love you. Huh? I said I love you. I know. I like the levity you brought to it. No, but when I watch these courtroom dramas, it's like, oh, well, you open the door to that line of questioning, right? Right? That's what it is. Once Ben Simmons offers up mental health, you know, sorry, you open the door. It's in our lane.
I don't believe him, and I just have a problem with it because of I think that the progress that has been made, where this is now being talked about, now you're seeing other NBA players. Kevin Love has been public about it, and you know, we mentioned Simone Biles earlier, where you know, like this sort of stuff, like there's progress being made and people are getting help, and I just feel that this is not genuine, and that could hurt the cause of not a big dent in it at all means, Doug, but it's taking advantage and good takeaway from some of the gains that have been made recently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like anybody that makes a false claim, when the legitimate claims feel less legitimate, not because of their own fault, but because of other people's false claims. That's completely normal. Completely normal. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right. So there's my tweet that I had to kind of go off on.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. I'll tell you what teams to bet on this weekend. How do I know? Because I'm dominating, which means I'll probably suck this week.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day, every Friday at this time. Okay, every Friday at this time. We make you some money. We get you some picks. Let's get to 5 for 5.
We got them. Touchdown! 5 NFL, 5 college.
5 on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Five. It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, 5.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Last week, 6-0 in college. What does that mean? Not much. Not much. But I guess kind of something. Right? Guess kind of something. So I got a couple picks that are a little bit out there. But I think you'll appreciate that. Let's get after it this week. Penn State's taking on Illinois. Did you guys hear what Brett Bielema said this week about his offensive line? Jay Stu, did you hear it?
I did not. What did he say?
Dan Byer, did you hear it? Dan Byer hears everything.
Yes, yes, I did.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm paraphrasing here. He basically said, in our two deep offensive linemen, no one who's been recruited the last 2 years, this is previous to him getting the job, are even contributing, right? Basically saying, like, our offensive line stinks. We have no good young players. Wait till my guys get here. Is that a fair
way? Yeah, that's a good summation.
Okay. How do you think that's going to go over in a locker room? When they're playing on the road against Penn State.
Yeah, probably not too well.
No. Penn State's a 23.5 point favorite. I'm going to take Penn State. They're going to dominate Illinois, not just because Illinois, he's right, but you can't say it. He's right. You can't say it.
They're actually called the Illinois Fighting Each Other Illini this weekend. Nice. That's what they are.
Nice. Very, very, very nice. So anyway, 23.5 points. Give me Penn State. Lay the points. Don't worry. Your boys got you. Pitt takes on Clemson. Pitt is a 3.5 point favorite against Clemson. And look, I know that Clemson found a way to beat Boston College. Boston College using a backup quarterback. Beating Syracuse at Syracuse. Pitt's pretty good. They're legitimately a good football team. Narduzzi's a good coach. They just beat Virginia Tech on the road. They beat Georgia Tech on the road, scored 52. They're taking on Clemson. I think this is... Reputation is the only thing keeping Clemson within 3.5 points, because what you're saying is this is a pick'em game. If it's at a neutral site, it shouldn't be. Pitt's better. Give me Pitt. Lay the points. Two favorites. Oklahoma State taking on Iowa State. Iowa State's been a house of horrors for the Cowboys. 10 years ago, they lost on the road, were upset, field goal. Iowa State is 4-2, but this is kind of what they do on a yearly basis, right? They start slow and finish hot. They smash Kansas. That got them going. They beat Kansas State, who Oklahoma State beat, but beat them on the road. And now they take on the Cowboys. In between, though, they lost to Baylor. This one's hard because it's a 7-point line. If it was 7 and a hook, I would love Oklahoma State. I still like them, though, as they've gotten healthier at wide receiver. I'm going to take Oklahoma State to cover, not to win. Won't go money line. Give me 7 points. If I get 7.5, I am laughing. I will take the Cowboys. Oregon's taking on UCLA. And UCLA, they did beat Washington last week. Good game. They beat Arizona. Lost to Arizona State. Lost to Fresno State. The two best teams they've played, they've lost to. Oregon is better than the two best teams they've played. Plus, it's a noon game at the Rose Bowl. Let's not act like it's some Pac-12 after dark. Things can happen that are crazy. I like Oregon on the road as a dog. That feels like absolutely positively free money to me. Okay, let's get a little lit later on in the afternoon. Alabama's taking on Tennessee. I think Tennessee's disheartened by the loss to Ole Miss. Now, Tennessee had shown some signs. Smashed Missouri, smashed South Carolina after losing to Florida. Also lost to Pittsburgh. Again, I'm touting Pittsburgh. But Alabama, they found their sea legs last week against Mississippi State. Think about it. Even in their loss to A&M, they scored 38 points. This is a high-powered offense. The over-under is 68. I like Alabama to score 35 points, maybe even 40 points. I don't like Tennessee to score that many. I'm going to take Alabama and lay that big number. Fine, let's roll with it. They don't call it gambling for nothing, do they? Of course not. Okay, one more favorite I'm going to take. This is favorite week. Notre Dame's taking on USC. Notre Dame has not looked great offensively. They, too, beat Virginia Tech on the road. They had that offensive explosion against Wisconsin. But I just think they're a solid football team. I don't think USC is solid. Remember, USC's wins this year, that Washington State win, okay. The Colorado win, Colorado's not particularly good. They're just not. And USC's kind of a mess. Give me the Irish. Give me the Irish. So I got two dogs, and three favorites. Let's get to the pro game, shall we? Yeah, so what we do with the NFL is we just crank the music up louder, and then it makes the picks seem better, right? Okay. Panthers are taking on the G-Men. Giants are a mess. Panthers, they were bad last week. No question. We're not good last week. But I like Carolina to come in and beat the G-Men because the G-Men are a mess. Give me Carolina laying 3 points on the road. Chiefs taking on the Titans. You know, I watched the Titans. I know they won in a great Monday Night Football game. And so people are going to say, oh, Derrick Henry. And they're right. Chiefs have a bad defense, especially against the run. Derrick Henry's a tremendous running back. He carried this team to their win on Monday. I think they're going to win straight up. 4.5 points. Give me the Titans. Raiders taking on the Eagles. Not a buyer into the Eagles at all. Raiders at home. Raiders got some momentum going back to last weekend, beating up on the Broncos. They'll continue that momentum. Give me the Raiders. Rams are 16-point favorites. I mean, Rams and Cardinals and Rams are 16 and 18-point favorites, respectively. Wow. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers are 11.5-point favorites in warm rain in Tampa. Oh, those are huge numbers. The one I'm looking at that I like, quite honestly, I like the Colts taking on the Niners. Colts are 4-point dogs. Give me the Colts. Rams, Lions. I do feel like there's a lot more fight in the Lions. I could be wrong. Remember, this is a Lions team that's just been devastated by close loss after close loss after close loss. But they were blown out by the Bengals last week. That's after a close loss to the Vikings, close loss to the Bears, close loss to the Ravens. That's a hard one. That's so many points. So many points. It's a ton. A ton. See what I'm going to do? I had this written down. I'm going to scrap it the last second, and I'm going to go to Ravens Bengals. Bengals, one of those teams a lot better than you think. They just are. Defense has been pretty solid this year. Obviously only allowed 11. Played Packers to overtime. Beat the Steelers on the road. Lost to the Bears week two of the season. Beat the Vikings in overtime at home. They're taking on the Ravens, and the Ravens are playing great offensive football. The defense is just so-so. 6.5. I wish it was 7.5. I'm going to take the Bengals to keep this thing close. I'm not ballsy enough to pick them on the money line, but I am ballsy enough to take them. Give me the Bengals. So I got Bengals, I got Panthers, I got Titans, I got Raiders, and I got the Colts. Let's roll.
Five on three.
There it is. Five NFL.
Let's go, five.
Five college. Five for five with Doug Gottlieb.
Boom! All right, he's a two-time World Series champion, a four-time All-Star, and he had one of the most iconic batting stances in recent memory. He's the one and only Hunter Pence joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Hunter, how are you?
Doug, I'm doing great. How are you?
Not as good as you. As a guy who played and won with the Giants, how often are you cheering against the Dodgers watching them in the playoffs?
You know, typically I am, but honestly, I just respect good baseball and watching good games. And you have to, you know, honor, even though they were my rival for most of my career, you still respect what they've been able to accomplish over the last, who knows, like 8-ish years. It's been pretty incredible baseball, and there's a lot to learn from them. So I'm enjoying good baseball, and I'm enjoying these matchups, both series 3 and 2. It's been awesome.
How would you explain to us, like laymen, us civilians, how the Dodgers have this prolific roster, and yet they have had some unbelievably inept performances with the bat this postseason? Explain that to me.
I don't understand the question exactly. What do you want to explain?
I just mean, like, look, the Dodgers have this. It's like a murder. It's not Yankees murderer's row, but they have an unbelievable lineup, right? The depth of talent by which they have is fantastic. Yet, if you look at the playoffs, there's just these ups and downs. You know, four hits the other night, then they explode last night. Why do you think they have gone so cold so often in the playoffs?
You know, it's weird. They have been like feast or famine, and it's tough to really say why. Like, there is a saying in baseball, like, hitting is contagious. But it does seem, there was a cool little meme, and I'm not sure if you're a gamer, Doug, or not. But when you're, like, playing your video game, and you have your controller in your hand, and you're just relaxing, it's a regular game. And then when they get to these elimination games, it's like they just rise to the occasion. It's like sitting forward in your chair. I thought that was a good way to put it. But it seems like in the elimination games, they just like really lock it in. It dials in the focus. And there's no real rhyme or reason. Because if you think about it, Freed, who they got out of there pretty quickly last night, was probably one of the best pitchers that, you know, in baseball right now going in the playoffs. So he's got some of the nastiest stuff. So I don't know if you can necessarily solve that riddle.
Scherzer's going to take the mound on full rest. Now, previously he had said he had dead arm. In your mind, can you come back from dead arm this quickly so that you're back to being somewhere close to the real Mad Max in a game 6?
I think you can. I think there's definitely ways. Like, it was a really unique circumstance with an older pitcher to bring him into close and then shortly thereafter come into a game. And this is something actually we're going to kind of see from Eovaldi, because I believe he pitched an inning in the last game and now he's starting today. So I think you're going to be semi concerned to see what Eovaldi comes out with tonight. Scherzer, I think there's a better chance of him feeling good just because of natural rest, and I'm sure they're doing all sorts of things. It gets a little, you know, it can get a little interesting in the playoffs, but you find a way to get it done. So I would say that both of them are going to be interesting to watch, but I do believe Scherzer can get that dead arm fixed.
Houston's a place, obviously, you played. Yeah, I mean, the ball flies there, and it's almost like a different game. The Eovaldi thing is interesting, right? Because what you get from people is like, well, you know, a bullpen session he would have thrown anyway. But the intensity of every pitch when you're pitching in a in a, you know, do or die ALCS game is different. Right? Like that's, I think that's the part where analytics and people who think same number of pitches don't understand the intensity of every pitch. Is that a fair, logical reason why it's different than just a bullpen session?
100%. And that's why I'm thinking that Eovaldi is going to be the one that you're a little bit skeptical of, because we just saw it with Scherzer. The adrenaline, you cannot match that in a bullpen. Like, you can't say that one inning out of relief when you're a starter for most of your career, it's a whole different animal and way of functioning the body. So the adrenaline is next level. You can't compare the two. And I definitely, like I said, I have probably a lot of confidence. And by the way, Eovaldi could come out and just be rubber arm and be good to go. But I do think that Scherzer is going to probably be sharper this start than the last. I hope.
Yeah, I would hope. I would hope as well. Who do you like tonight? Red Sox and Astros?
With the whole Eovaldi thing, I kind of, just because of, you know, Garcia on the mound hasn't really gotten it going yet in the playoffs, I like the Red Sox. And also, part of my heart's kind of pulling here because I would love to see a game seven. But once again, the Astros, man, their offense is something else. And as soon as you think it's one team, the other team, like, yeah, after the third game, you were like, oh, the Red Sox are running away with this. There's no stopping them. And the Astros just answered and answered. They finally slowed down that offense. So, but I like the Red Sox. It's elimination game. That's who I like in this game right now.
Hunter Pence joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Of course, he's a two-time World Series champion. He's a four-time All-Star. How did you process? Like, I'll give you an example. 14, you're in the World Series. Like, you hit 444. I mean, feel like you got to hit every time you're up there. How do you focus when it's, I mean, I can tell you, watching regular season baseball, watching postseason baseball, it's like two different sports. And we watch it, and we're tense, and we're watching every pitch and every. But for you specifically, it didn't seem to affect you as much. How would you process all of the pressure and still perform?
You know, like, pretty much your whole career is a tremendous amount of pressure. And yes, there's even more pressure when you get to the playoffs, and it's, you know, your whole life. But a lot of times it's kind of the failures and the pains of, you know, losing in 2011 with the Phillies. And you just kind of adapt to it, and it kind of fuels you. So it's a part of the whole journey. But really, at the end of the day, when you get in those moments, you're doing what you love to do. You're doing what you've always done. And I think you learn that, like, doing less is more because it means so much to you. So a lot of times when you want to really control when it means so much to you, and you have to do this weird thing that I learned, at least worked for me, of letting go. And I would just look at it and be like, you know, I'm at peace with the work that I've done, and I'm going to go out there and do, like, try to do less because I know the adrenaline is going to bring more. So that was kind of my method of dealing with it.
Chris Taylor, 3 home runs last night. Like, that's insane stuff. That's Reggie Jackson stuff, right? 3 home runs in a do-or-die game. That's one of the craziest clutch performances. And then you factor in, you know, the home run he hit, you know, to help advance them earlier in the playoffs. Like, that's the stuff that's incredible. Did you ever have 3 home runs in a game?
I don't know. Never. Not once.
2 home runs in a game?
Yeah, I did that a couple times.
What's
in a playoff game, no.
What's the feeling like of 2 home runs in a game?
Incredible. It's a really good feeling, not going to lie.
Okay, so then we got Dodgers and Braves. You mentioned how well the Dodgers perform backs against the wall, but that's at home. How does that change when you're on the road?
I mean, not that much, to be honest. I mean, a little bit, just because, you know, you don't have the same set up and whatnot, obviously the crowd, but the crowd will fluctuate based off the players and what's happening in the game as far as that's concerned. The big thing is kind of the rhythm of the off day and all of that, just having a day of, like, slowing it down. So to be honest, it's just going to be like, trust the process for both teams. Like, just keep doing everything you've done all year, and the way you handle it is just go do it all season long. And the Dodgers have been in the playoffs on the road at home. I remember them winning a really clutch game 7 in Milwaukee a couple years back to go to the World Series. So, you know, these guys have definitely have the experience. The Astros have a ton of experience as well. The Braves, to me, the Braves are scary because they've lost so many series in a row, so many seasons. It's been like 3 years in a row of losing to the Dodgers. And that pain over and over and over again, eventually, it's tough to keep putting them out.
I know you're 2-for-8 with a homer against Scherzer. How'd you hit against Kenley? Did you see the ball well against Kenley?
You know what? I don't remember. I think it was pretty average. Like, he struck me out quite a bit. I had a couple walk-offs off of him. But not as much when I was with the Giants. I think maybe one or two good at bats that I can really think of. But he pretty much, I think he got me quite a bit.
What makes him difficult? What's he really like to see when you're in that batter's box?
So the thing I would say is, like, he has a lot. It's unique. Like, it's similar to Mariano Rivera, like a really unique cut that you don't really see very often. But Jansen has a lot of carry on his ball. So the up and in pitch to me, to right-handers, was really good. And he got to where he can mix and match the speed and make it move more and move less. So that's where it got kind of tricky, because sometimes, a lot of times when it goes glove side versus arm side, so glove side would be away to a righty, it looks like a strike and takes off and moves a lot away a little bit more. And then when it comes up and in to a righty, so arm side, it doesn't move quite as much. So that up and in corner and laying off the high one is very difficult to do because he's a tall guy, and it just like really stays higher than it appears.
Toughest closer you ever faced?
Man, that's a difficult question to answer on the spot. I get like toughest pitcher, and sometimes it was actually like the setup guy. Like, I believe was it Matt Adams that was he had a yeah. stint when he was with like the Padres, and then also he went over to the Rangers where he was throwing some really ridiculous stuff. But there's been a lot of really good closers. Brian Wilson when he was with the Giants was really good as well.
Yeah. The setup guys, I mean, I remember when Mo was the setup guy. He was the setup guy for Wetland, right? Yeah, he was the setup guy for Wetland, and it was, I mean, talk about a bullpen. That was those setup guys. The weird setup guys are the righties that come in and they throw, you know, submarine style, or they throw sidearm, and they look like they're coming from your backside. That is just a completely different look than anything you see.
Yeah, a lot of times those guys are very tough. I feel like I did okay off of them. There was Brad Ziegler for a while that was doing the submarine, and half the time it's like you're 100% selling out on one or the other. So it's like, you know, this ball's either going to hit me in the neck or I'm going to hit it, and you know, or you're like you're kind of taking a golf swing because the ball sinks so much out of the hand. But Tyler Rogers, I got to face him in the summer camp or whatever we had in 2020. His ball kind of rises a little bit, which was unique. So most sidearmers, it like stinks, but his kind of rises. It's very strange.
Yeah, my boy Joe Smith, I mean, he's a guy who's done really well in postseasons back, obviously when he's with the Stros, he was with the Indians, he was with the Angels some as well. But he's a guy, yeah, he's got that kind of that natural sink, but it is a when they leave him up in the zone, they go a long way. And a lot of times when they, because now they got to stand in there and face three batters, it makes it a little bit more difficult when you throw a lefty up there to a sidearm and righty.
Yeah, the new rule definitely changes things as far as that's concerned. And a lot of times, you know, there can be uniquely, like, I think Tyler Rogers actually got more, like, had better splits with lefties. He had reverse splits. And I think a lot of that is because it is kind of coming up and in. But most of the time, the average sidearmer, the sinker really goes, like, let's say a right-handed sidearmer, the sinker really goes right into the bat path of most left-handed hitters. So that's where it can be tough. You need to have a change up as well.
All right, are you road tripping with T-Mobile? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, Doug, I'm glad you asked. I am road tripping and teaming up with T-Mobile to visit some iconic MLB landmarks across the country, and I'm decked out in the Magenta 5G RV, Doug.
Wait, a Magenta, a what? RV?
Magenta RV. So it's a T-Mobile, like, they have some of the best 5G basically covering all of the interstate. And we're doing kind of a postseason trip across the country headed to the World Series. And we're making some stops at some big landmarks. We went and visited the Little League World Series team that won Sweet. The World Series. And we did another little stop. We met up in Chicago with two fellas who went to 30 stadiums in 30 days for their 30th birthday. It was pretty cool.
I know you got to go. Favorite Major League Baseball stadium is what that you ever played in?
My favorite one?
Yeah.
Probably Oracle, but I do have to tell you, Doug, I do have to tell you this because you can check out this trip that I'm on. You can go to @T-Mobile on Twitter to follow what we're doing because there is some pretty cool stuff. But there is a contest that they're running that I think your listeners are going to want to hear about. Any fan can text all caps road trip to 595959. That's three of the 5 9s. They're going to enter the chance to win everything you need for the baseball road trip of a lifetime, Doug. Now get this. It's actually crazy. You can win tickets to all 30 MLB stadiums next season. And like I said, I think San Francisco is my favorite, but there's a lot of really good ones and unique ones. You can win a brand new RV to get you there and a free 5G device and a year of T-Mobile service to keep you connected on the road. So I think that's a pretty amazing contest, the Tex Road Trip, and go check out @T-Mobile on Twitter.
And if you see Hunter Pence, if you see a magenta RV rolling down the interstate, you know it's Hunter Pence. Beep on the horn.
Yes.
Do the little fake, do his batting stance and wave to him. Hunter, we know you got to run. Thanks for joining us, bro.
Hey, thank you, Doug. Appreciate you having me.
All right, Hunter Pence, four-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion. You guys, Ramos, you okay with having a San Francisco Giant on? You guys?
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. I love Hunter Pence. I mean, he's that stance and his hair, and he'd have his beard grow out. And
yeah, and then he had the high socks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
the old school kind of Knickers look.
Yeah, I like what he said, and I agree with him 100%. I am a baseball fan. I tell you straight up, I'm not a Giants. I don't like the Giants, but that doesn't mean I don't have respect. I told you about Buster Posey, how much respect I had for Buster Posey.
Everybody has respect for Buster
Posey. Yeah, so yeah, Hunter Pence sounds like a great guy.
You just told me you hated Hunter Pence. He's a jerk.
Not true. By the way, I can't laugh at certain things, by the way, because other people take it such exception to it, so just FYI.
Okay, I appreciate that. That's John Ramos, noted Giants and Hunter Pence hater. How was Washington State responded since their unvaccinated football coach was fired?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to the press, sir.
The press.
Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, the Ben Simmons story is one we've been following in the NBA, but here could be another. Jordan Schultz, NBA insider, reporting that Suns owner Robert Sarver is being accused of racism, sexism, and sexual harassment involving a variety of separate incidents. The report says the NBA has received the allegations and is preparing for a way to handle the situation.
I don't know Jordan. I just know that he's not actually reporting it. He's reporting that there's another report that may eventually report it. Again, I didn't go to, I'm not a journalist, but I know how this works. That's not how this works. We're going to stay tuned. We're going to pay attention to it, but that's not how this works.
Cade Cunningham's going to miss the Pistons' road trip as he missed their opening game because of a sprained ankle. So Detroit will not have their first overall pick for the start of the season.
Right.
So what did you say? It's the motorcade?
Motorcade
broken down?
Yes, that would be the case.
All right.
Washington State Athletic Director Patrick Chun says the school has met their $25 million fundraising benchmark that will be used to build a new indoor practice facility for their athletic program. Chun says the school raised the final $3.5 million just this week as the donations came in following the dismissal of head football coach Nick Rolovich.
Yeah, what is money?
Listen, I hate to break it to anti-vax people, but 80% of the population, I believe, has received at least one shot. They talk about the silent majority. There's plenty of people who are just like, look, this is how we need to get through it. And they like that the state and the school said it's our way or the highway. I actually think that speaks to how most people truly feel, despite the volume level from the minority of people who don't believe they should have to get vaccinated.
All right.
Broncos Browns got a lot of flack yesterday because of the absence of some key participants. However, NFL viewership of the game on Fox was actually up 23% from a year ago in a game that featured the Eagles and Giants in 2020.
Wait, so what game is
so on? Last night's game was actually rated higher than last year's week seven.
Giants?
Yeah.
Really?
In that same window. Yeah.
How's okay. that possible?
Well, I don't know. Maybe people just wanted some more Case Keenum and D'Ernest Johnson.
Okay.
And they got it on Thursday night.
The Ernest Johnson is just it's a good feel-good story. All right, one more. You got time for one more. Go, one more.
Tyreek Hill going to play against the Titans. Look for Julio Jones to try to give it a go for Tennessee in that game. That's the press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Buy a Red Sox or Astros?
Astros in game six.
I got Astros as well. I know these other guys got the Dodgers. Have a great weekend. The picks are up online. We'll see if they're as good as they were last week. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show.